For the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
I have the world to offer you.
Yes, you have the world to hold till the day when God declares time on earth shall be no more. Fire and brimstone shall rain down and melt it like the snow. What will you have to offer then to a dying soul?
Think of all you're giving up.
I'm giving up the chance to die, spend eternity in hell, burning in a lake of fire. I thank God he's made a way that I might escape. By the living grace of God I shall see his face.
But you don't sin, you're good enough.
There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all.
But what about the friends you lose?
There may be some that don't agree. They may say that I'm a fool, but they don't have to stand for me. Jesus said he'd be my friend with me, and he'd never leave my side throughout eternity.
But life will be too dull for you.
Everything you've offered me don't mean nothing to my heart, for from sin I've been set free. Praise the Lord, I'm going home ever to rejoice. Take this world and get behind. I have found peace of mind. Everlasting joy is mine. Jesus is my choice.
Over the last half year, since we've seen the economic crash come upon North America, many Christians are asking the question, what shall we do? What is God's will for us? And there are many advisors out there. Some are telling you to fill your basement with food products and different kinds of things that will sustain you, or try to be wise in your investments. There are many who are holding on to their money and trying to spend as little as possible, for they understand by what is happening upon the world scene that we're going to see some hard economic times. Many Christians will be tried. The Lord will see if they have the love of money more than the love of God. So the question I have for the Christian, what will you do with your finances as you see the crunch coming? Will you keep on serving the Lord with your finances? Or will you hoard it to yourself? Will you put it into the bank to make sure that you have enough just in case there's going to come a shortage of food, a shortage of whatsoever? Yes, people are afraid, and many are out there giving advice. The question is, what does the Bible teach about these things? What is the advice of the Holy Spirit for them who love the Lord Today I'll teach on what advice the Holy Spirit gives to the churches as we see the day approaching. But before we get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that you will open our hearts to your truth, to your word, and you will establish our faith, O God, so that we can rejoice. We know that you're soon coming back for your bride, and we ask you, Lord, that you will bless us with an assurance. I thank you for the word. I ask you, Lord, to bless each and every one in Jesus' name. Amen. I still remember very vividly Y2K when the year 2000 rolled around. Many preachers and teachers were advising their church members to hoard food, to buy a generator, to put water, bottled water into their basements, and toilet paper and canned food and different stuffs. Yes, many people were lined up after a week at the store, returning stuff that they had hoarded up just in case something will happen in the year 2000. And many people at that time asked me what I thought of it, and the answer then is still the same as it is today. The Lord, as far as I'm concerned, the Lord has never told us to hoard up food, to look around and try to bring protection upon ourselves by making sure that we have lots of food or stuff stashed away. The Bible teaches us something very interesting. Instead of hoarding food or money, it tells us when you see these things begin to come to pass, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. That is what Scripture is teaching. The Bible teaches us in James chapter 5, verse 7, "Be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waited for the precious fruit of the earth, and has long patience for it until he receives the early and the latter rain. Be also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh." So this is the first advice from the Holy Spirit. Be patient. The Lord has a work to perform through his church. He's waiting for the latter rains. The latter rains are upon us, and many, many people are turning to the Lord. Yes, we are seeing many turn to Jesus in those last days. And God is doing a quick work. But what about the Christian who will ask, what does God want me to do with my money? What does God want me to do to prepare just in case hard times come? To me, a person should always be wise with his money. He should always be wise with his substance and not to waste it, and make sure that he has ready, has something for a rainy day or for tomorrow. This has always been my teaching. Be wise with your money. Pay off your debt. Use your money for the furthering of the kingdom. But as even if we do that, people will still be anxious. In Luke chapter 17, verse 26, there is an interesting scripture that teaches us what will happen when Jesus will come back, and we can learn from that. It tells us, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also as it was in the days of Lot. They did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. What are these scriptures teaching here? These scriptures are very clearly teaching us that life will go on as usual. People will go about their daily lives, eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage. You cannot see them hoarding food in the days of Noah. You cannot see the Sodomites rushing about, building up their cash reserves as they saw the angels of God coming into the city of Sodom. No, you don't see that. The Bible teaches it was just like any ordinary day. They went about their business. We know what they did in the days of Noah, and we know what they did in the days of Sodom. And this is exactly how it's going to be when the Lord Jesus Christ will come back. Yes, the world will go about its business. Nothing will change until the day when Jesus will take his bride unto himself. After that, I advise people to start hoarding up. I advise people to run for the hills. For this is what the scripture teaches us here in Luke chapter 17, verse 31. In that day, when he which shall be upon the housetop, and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. He is telling you, run for cover here. For we people are going to see some hard times ahead. And this is the warning that we have been preaching throughout the last 30 years. The Lord is willing that none shall perish. We need to turn to him for this salvation. For the Bible teaches us it'll be over in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. As we see things happening today, as we see life going on, the moment that Jesus comes for his bride, then things will change. After that, I don't think it's going to help anybody to do anything, because the Bible teaches the Antichrist will come upon the scene. And those who do not line up, those who do not take the mark of the beast, then these will have to suffer the consequences of their choices of not turning to Jesus before the rapture. For many, many will lose their lives. The Bible teaches us that the Antichrist will make war on the saints, and he will prevail. And the Bible teaches many will be martyred for Christ during that awful, awful hour. So the question is, where do you stand with this Jesus today? Yes, I may be talking to somebody who has just tuned in to this program. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Yes, there are many religions out there who teach you how to do this and how to do that, how to walk for God. Many, many religious systems will even try to tell you that they can forgive you your sins. But what good is your sin to be forgiven if that same religion cannot give you eternal life? For when you turn to Jesus, not only does he forgive you your sin, he also gives you eternal life. So I'm asking you a question. Are you saved by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? There is only one name given under heaven whereby we must be saved, and that name is Jesus. You may be a Muslim, you may be a Catholic, you may be a Hutterite or a Mennonite or a Hindu. There are many people listening to this program over the internet and through radio. Regardless what religion you are into, do you know that you belong to God? Oh, yes, your religious upbringing may have told you that you belong to God as long as you stay in your religion. But what does the Bible teach? What does the Word of God say about this? The Word of God is our only roadmap that leads to heaven. And what is that roadmap? What does it say? Does it teach us that we need to live a godly life? Does it teach us that we need to belong to a certain religious organization? Does it teach us that we need to read the Bible? Does it teach us that we need to get baptized? Oh yes, the Word of God may teach all of that in one way or another. But the way the Word of God teaches on how to get into heaven is this, that Jesus came to seek and save that which is lost. The Bible teaches us that we are all an unclean thing. And the only way that we can get into heaven is when we trust in Jesus to take away our sin. Regardless what religion you're in, it's not going to help you any. You need to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our only mediator between man and God. It's not our religion and God. It's not our baptism and God. It's none of those things. It's Jesus Christ. If you don't know Him, then you need to seek Him today. The Lord is willing that none shall perish. And all those that turn to Him by faith will receive eternal life. Just accept the fact that you are a sinner. Admit it in your own heart that you're on the wrong track, regardless how good your religion seems to be. Jesus was the one that was crucified for you, not your religion. Jesus was the one that was in the Garden of Gethsemane and was sweating blood for you and for me, not your religion or your baptism. No, none of those things. It was Jesus. Jesus was the one that said to the thief that was nailed to the cross beside him, "Today you shall be with me in paradise." We have to remember that thief had no religion. That thief never read the Bible. That thief never got a chance to be baptized. That thief only looked towards Jesus and said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And our Lord Jesus Christ, in His greatest suffering and agony, turned with a loving, kind heart towards that thief and said, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Is that what our Lord Jesus said to you? He can, if you will turn to Him with the same trust that the thief had, and seek Him and ask Him to come into your heart. He will not put you away. If He did not push that thief away, who was a murderer, a thief, or whatever else he was, if He did not turn that thief away from Him, He will not turn you away. So give Him your life and heart today, and you will become a child of the kingdom of God. The Lord will open your heart to this truth and make you a blessing. Amen.
O mein Jesus, du bist wert, dass man dich im Staub ehrt, dass man dich beständig lobt und ehrt. Niemand ist so gut wie du, meine Seele.
We can understand that the Bible teaches that evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. That is found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13. And when one looks at the religion that he was brought up in, he can clearly understand the deception that has been with him throughout his early years. Yes, once a person becomes born again and looks back at the religion that he was raised up in, he can clearly understand the deception. The deceived are deceiving others. And this has been going on generation after generation. Somehow, somewhere in the past, people have taken certain scriptures out of the Word of God and had made a religion out of them. They have neglected to study the rest of the Word of God. The Word of God teaches us in verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scripture, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith that which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by the inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." The Apostle Paul is teaching Timothy very clearly here that scriptures made him wise to be able to understand salvation. In today's teachings, many religions, most religions, if not all religions, turn to the writings of their forefathers in trying to explain people on the way of salvation. But Paul tells Timothy here, "From a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." We have to understand that, and we have to see that. Regardless from what religious background you are from, it is not your religion that will save you. It is faith in the finished work of the cross. This is what Paul is teaching Timothy here. And we need to take a hold of that. We know that Jesus is about to come back. And he tells us that all foundations will be shaken. And all those foundations who are not built upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ, will crumble and fall. So I am warning you today, you the listener, if you have just tuned into this program, for this program reaches many nations of the world. If you have just tuned in through the internet over the radio, Jesus is the only name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. There is no other name given under heaven. So if you're a Muslim or a Hindu or whatever, a Catholic, whatever religion you come from, give the Word of God a chance. Turn to the Word of God, for it has been inspired by God. It tells us all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. God moved people to write the very words that he spoke to them. And it tells us, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So the question I have, what is your righteousness? Without the righteousness of God, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The Bible teaches us in Revelation chapter 19 that the bride of Christ will be given a robe of righteousness. What is that robe of righteousness? In Romans chapter 3, that the righteousness of God is faith in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you cannot attain that righteousness by working for it or by trying to keep your religious laws. That robe of righteousness has to be given to you by the Lord God Himself. And once you have placed your faith in the finished work of the cross, once you have repented and have seen the errors of your way and have turned away from those ways and you have given your life and heart to Jesus Christ, then that robe of righteousness is placed upon you. And that is the only way you will be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. The Lord will open your heart to this awesome truth and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.